Next on BYUSN, as of the 2024 football season approaches, we take a close look at just how tough BYU football schedule is compared to the rest of the Big 12. Plus, we propose one change that we would like to make to this year's BYU schedule.
We'll continue previewing the Big 12 football season with Arizona State head coach Kenny Dillingham, as well as UCF head coach Gus Malzahn. And will there be more excitement for the BYU-Utah football game or Kevin Young and the BYU basketball season opener in early November?
Both are great. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, July 17th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man, ladies and gentlemen, who is trying to find something to do during the two slowest sports days of the entire year, Jason Shepherd.
Yeah, look, July's a tough month for sports viewing. I realize that it's only a couple of days, but this day or these 2 days, I'll tell you, you get used to having at least something, whether it's Major League Baseball, something.
There's always something, right?
But this always happens because right after the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, you have kind of nothing. Now, you've got NBA Summer League, you've got WNBA games, so you've got some things, but in terms of like the four major sports, you got nothing. So, I mean,
this is why you schedule your vacation typically right about this time of year.
This is usually when I'm gone.
Yeah.
But yeah, look, you find something. Look, the Jazz play this afternoon in Summer League, so I'll check that out.
Uh-huh.
I guess there's a chance that maybe I could do some yard work at my house.
Oh, man.
There's always...
Scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Well, now what I'm about to say sounds horrible. As I said, I could spend some time with my family.
I guess I could spend some time with family and kids.
Heaven forbid I don't have something to watch.
Oh, good luck to you, my friend.
You know what? I'll tell you exactly what I'm going to do tonight. I'm gonna watch the final episode of Star Wars The Acolyte.
Let's go.
It's been disappointing, but at least gives me something to watch.
Some closure.
Yes.
Need closure.
Yes.
Do you find that when you get into a bad television series, you keep watching it anyway?
I angry watch.
You've invested.
Yes, time. I angry watch because I'm like, well, I've invested this much, I gotta see it through now.
Boy, there's a lot of pent up frustration here. No sports, and you're angry watching the final series.
Come on, you angry watch something.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Look, BYU Sports Nation, I know you all angry watch something. There's always something you're like, well, I've invested this much, I'm stuck now.
Hopefully all of you are not angry watching BYU Sports Nation.
Of course not.
On that note, rise and shout. Let's get to what's trending.
I do think it will be a challenging season to be able to become bowl eligible.
It's anybody's game, and even some of the teams down toward the bottom may surprise people and jump up toward the top, and I think BYU could be one of those.
They have a lot to prove, and that's the truth of it.
Happy thoughts. What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Ford, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. College Football Network recently released their Big 12 strength of schedule rankings for all 16 teams heading into the 2024 season. They have BYU currently with the fifth toughest schedule of those 16 Big 12 teams. Jason, we know that BYU football is going to run through a gauntlet for sure. They're still trying to figure out who's going to be the starting quarterback. But we'll look at the schedule specifically today. How tough is it compared to the rest of the Big 12? Earlier this week, we saw the full list. So let's take a look. And I should add, we have thrown in a conglomerate of sorts, adding ESPN's FPI and Phil Steele's strength of schedule ranking. So the composite of those three things, we're not held to just one standard, right, Jason?
No.
In the mouth of two or three witnesses, shall we establish all strength of schedule rankings?
I believe that's exactly what's in the scriptures.
So let's take a look at the composite ranking. BYU was fifth in the College Football Network. Well, when you add all three of those lists, BYU stays at number five. Number one is Houston, followed by West Virginia. Colorado has a tough stretch. Arizona State just ahead of the Cougars, and then TCU right behind BYU. Of note, three of the conference favorites, Utah, Arizona, and Kansas, have the three easiest schedules, 14, 15, and 16, respectively. Jason, what do you make of all of this?
Oh, I got some thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Look, there's two ways to look at this. There's the rational side of it that I look at, and I was like, look, you can't deal with, well, if this could have happened. You deal with what reality is. And I can promise you that if you go ask any of the BYU football coaches, players, anybody, you know, that's a part of that program, they're going to say, look, we can't control the schedule. All we can do is control how we play in the games that are in front of us. So the rational side of me looks at it that way. Look, they don't have control on what the old Commodore 64 spits out based off of the algorithm.
The Commodore 64.
It's like this 8-bit print, you know, the old school printer sends out the, you know. But, like, you have no control over that. And then as soon as I get done with the rational side of it, then the emotional and the fan side comes out. And it's like, what the heck? Like, the schedule makers did BYU absolutely zero favors. And to be at one of the only teams that are facing all of the top five schools.
That's pretty wild.
It's wild.
The Matrix shook out in a strange way in that regard.
Why does Neo and Morpheus and Trinity hate us?
You're taking the blue pill, though, right, Jason?
Always. So, You play the schedule that's in front of you, but BYU has a tough schedule. And I've heard the argument, well, where BYU is picked, all the games should be tougher because of where you're picked.
Because they're picked low in the conference.
Because they're picked lower in the conference, so your strength of schedule should be more difficult because you're facing teams that are expected to be much better than you.
Okay, what about a team like Cincinnati, though? Because they have the fourth easiest schedule, and Cincinnati's picked to finish lower than BYU. Is my counter-argument
to
that.
I agree. Like, the whole argument doesn't hold water to me. But at the end of the day, the Cougars just have to go out and play.
Yes.
That's all they can worry about. They weren't given any favors with the schedule. There's parts of it that I don't think are fair. But look, hopefully over the course of years, this starts to even itself out. Yes, I was very surprised that a brand new team coming into the league was given such an easy schedule in year one.
It is interesting because is it just pure chance?
Yeah, and you hope that it is.
I know that there were some mitigating factors that they did control, which is we want to control rivalries.
Yes.
So the algorithm is in place. The matrix is in place. But they did have some, okay, this is a deal breaker. This has to happen. This has to happen. Regional ties. So there are some things there. But, man, is most of it just dumb luck?
Yeah. I mean, look, this seems to me like it's more, like I said, the algorithm and putting all these in. And it's just the way that it came out. You know what I mean? And BYU's kind of on the short end of it with that.
Why couldn't BYU have the fourth easiest schedule like Cincinnati?
Correct.
Again, Cincinnati is picked to finish below BYU.
Yes.
Their expectations are lower than the Cougars. And they have a very easy schedule. So that's favorable for the Bearcats. It's unfortunate that BYU didn't get something like that. However, BYU with the fifth toughest schedule. And we have talked about this, you specifically, I believe in a topic about a month ago, we were talking about the things we liked most about the schedule. And you said, while the schedule is tough, most of the toughest games are in Lavelle Edwards Stadium.
You get the opportunity to have these really tough games and tough opponents on your home field. And with that comes, obviously, the energy, the atmosphere, but also the elevation.
Yes.
You get all of that. And hopefully, this team comes out and is strong to start, and by the time they get into conference play, number one, they're healthy, and number two, they're in a rhythm, and then they can start being that team that we hope can start, you know, exceeding outside expectations.
Yes. I'm going to use intramural sports as an example here, and specifically at BYU, there are different divisions. BYU is playing in the toughest division, if you will, okay?
Yeah.
It's going to be more challenging for sure, but if you win that intramural championship t-shirt or you do well in the said tougher division, it feels different. It feels better. Like, you could play an easier schedule.
Yeah.
And BYU, remember 2020 when they were trying to play everyone and no one would because of the COVID scenario? And then the big knock against BYU is, well, you've played nobody. Not because BYU didn't want to, but that was the knock. There is zero opportunity for anyone to look at BYU's schedule this year and say, Well, yeah, you had a decent season, but you played nobody. No, BYU is going to play in the highest division. They are one of the five toughest schedules in the conference. So I like that factor, that it will feel better if BYU does beat the odds because of the strength of schedule. And yes, they have so many good teams playing in Provo, notably Kansas State, Kansas, Arizona, and Oklahoma State, all in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. The home schedule this year for the fans that have tickets is incredible. Yeah. So I like that. It's tough. Maybe BYU, we think, will catch a break at some point in these future years, and they'll have one of the five easiest schedules moving forward. But it's just tough because BYU is coming off a 5-7 season. It feels like everything's compounding.
Yeah.
No quarterback, didn't go to a bowl game last year. Coach is starting to feel uncomfortable because it's like, oh, man, we got to get this thing together. We're picked to finish 13th, and you play all five of the teams that received the first-place vote. Like, when is BYU going to catch a break? Well, now they're going to have to make their own
Well, the other part about this is we've all got to remember this ranking of schedules from toughest to easiest, this is all based off of things from last year.
Yep.
And then returning production, what they have coming into this season. As we have talked about so many times, and we've seen this so often in the Big 12 specifically, is there's always teams that you expected to be good that slip, and teams that you didn't expect to have the type of season that you would call special are able to move up and sometimes win the conference. Mm-hmm. So just because this is what it looks like now in terms of this team's going to be good and this team's going to be, that doesn't mean that's how this is going to shake out as the course of the season goes on. You don't ever wish injuries on anyway, but injuries are a part of it. And if a team that's expected to be really, really good suffers a significant injury to a player that is so entrenched in what they do, that could change everything. So all the strength of schedule numbers, it's based off now. By the time we get four or five games into it, the strength of schedule may look totally different because the teams may not be as good.
It will. And you don't have to look far in the Big 12 to get examples of that. And this isn't just like one outlier. They're all over the place.
Yep.
In 2021, Baylor was picked to finish 9th in the conference out of 10 teams. They won it. In 2022, TCU was picked to finish 9th out of 10 teams and went to the national championship.
Yeah.
Good gravy. Last year, Texas was the outlier because they were picked to win it, and they actually did. West Virginia was picked to finish last.
Yep.
They finished in the top 5. So there is opportunity. This conference is so balanced and so weird, so unpredictable. I like that facet about this too. So to your point, after 4 weeks into the season of Big 12 games, it's going to look incredibly different.
Well, at the end of the year, we always look back and it's like, yeah, well, that was supposed to be the tough game. That really wasn't a tough game. Yeah. It's all in hindsight. And right now, it's all based off of last year and preseason stuff.
Sure. And you just saw the numbers. I mean, BYU's average opponent, their FBI is around 42, 8 bowl teams. There are 7 teams that won 8 games. Like, yes. So based on last year, all of this makes sense. But we don't know. We don't know until the games are actually played.
Okay, so let's stick with the schedule topic, but a little different.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to grant you the opportunity to make one change.
This is great
to
power.
BYU's current 2024 schedule.
Oh, man.
What's the one change that you're going to make?
I've discussed this before, and I don't think this will come as a shock to anyone, but the idea that BYU has to play 2 road games in non-conference does not sit well with me. You had an opportunity to have 7 home games. And I know it would have required BYU to buy out of a game, so I'm looking specifically at the Wyoming game. And I know this is not a diatribe against Tom Holmoe or the schedule makers. I love Tom. I know why he did it. Wyoming played it in Provo, and he's honoring the contract. But you're giving me the power to make the change. That's a tough place to play. Laramie is never fun to go to for BYU, especially now that BYU is a Power 4 team, and this is going to be the Super Bowl for Wyoming fans. And it's a night game, and they're going to be pre-gaming all day, Jason, so I'm sure the welcomes will be very warm in eastern Wyoming. So I would buy out that game and then just schedule any Group of 5 team that is available to come to Provo and have 7 home games. And then you give yourself that much better of a chance to win another game that gets you closer to bowl eligibility. So the 2 road games in non-con are tough for me to handle, specifically playing road game at Wyoming. When you could have bought it out. And I don't know. I mean, it's simple for me to say. Yeah. Finances are complicated. Sure. But that's the change that I would make. What about you?
Yeah, you and I are on the same page. Same rationale, but I'm going with a different game in the non-conference.
Okay.
I'm going to focus more on the SMU game. I'm not sure that people realize how good SMU can be this year.
They were ranked in the top 25 to finish last season.
So this is a good team, and you're going to Dallas to play them. And, you know, I've said this a lot. For me, the objective of non-conference for BYU football every year should be scheduling 3 wins every year. So that when you get to conference play, you're 3-0 every year.
Sure.
And by scheduling wins, hopefully that means it's inferior teams, which means it shouldn't be as physical, which means hopefully after 3 games you're not hurt, so that you start 3-0, you start healthy for all of your conference games.
And then you only need to win 3 conference games to get bowl eligible.
Yes. So I agree with you that going to Laramie is not going to be easy, but I feel better about going there because I feel like I kind of know more about Wyoming and what to
sure.
expect.
Sure. Wyoming's not a world beater by any means, too.
No. Wyoming is a good team. Let's make sure we get that there. They are going to put up a fight.
They will.
Like, yes.
What I'm saying is, like, Wyoming is not SMU quality.
No.
But they will prepare yes. for BYU like it's the Super Bowl.
Yes, they will. So, but for me, that SMU game, to be able to get that one in Provo instead of having to go on the road, that would be the one change I would make.
Okay.
So we're on the same page,
yes.
just different games.
One other nuance that I considered, again, we only get one change, but it's our show, and we're going to talk about a couple other things. I don't like the 2 weeks of build-up to the Utah game. I'd rather just only have 1 week to build up to that game.
To lessen the extracurricular that goes on?
Yes, and Utah has 2 weeks as well.
Yeah, no,
so it's
yeah.
both teams, yeah. so all eyes and all focus for 2 weeks is like, oh.
I love it for the able to get healthy before the game, but I agree with you 100% that with all of the outside stuff that we know comes along with that
sure.
game, 2 weeks of that.
It's a lot.
We're going to need to unplug
it's a lot.
Bit.
Thankfully, we're going to focus on Kevin Young and basketball a little bit as well.
Yes.
Like that might be a saving grace there in between.
More on that topic coming
yes.
up.
Yes. Our question of the day. If you could make one change to BYU football's 2024 schedule, what would you switch up? Thank you, Larry Scott on X says, don't even have to think about what I changed. Move Utah from November 9th to November 30th. Let's start treating this game like a rivalry game. So he wants it on rivalry weekend when Michigan plays Ohio State, all those other great games happen across the country. He wants BYU and Utah on the same weekend.
What are you talking about? We got the matchup of the Cougars on the 30th. We got BYU and Houston. Honestly, I actually kind of like where the game is.
It's in November.
It's in November. I'm fine with it. I understand that the history and it makes it even bigger when it's the last, but I honestly don't have an issue with it being on November 9th.
How many days until November 9th? It doesn't matter. You know what really matters? How many days until BYU season opener against Southern Illinois? Hit it!
Countdown to the Salukis.
45 days. 45 days. So 6.5 weeks?
Let's go. It's going to be here before we know it, man.
6.5 weeks until the BYU football season kicks off. Not training camp. Training camp is at the end of the month.
Not talking about training camp.
No, we're talking about an actual game. We're counting down things specifically and a little more celebratory because it's the 100th season of BYU football. So 45 days away from Southern Illinois. Remember number 45, Jason?
I do well.
Harvey Unga. Tell us a little about Mr. Harvey, won't you?
Yes, I will. Harvey Unga only played 3 seasons at BYU, but let's just say he left his mark, leaving as the all-time leading rusher when he ended his BYU career with 3,455 rushing yards. He was the first freshman in BYU history to rush for 1,000 yards and is the only BYU player to record 1,000 rushing yards in 3 consecutive seasons. He scored 45 touchdowns in his career, ironic.
Interesting.
Which is second most in program history. He now, of course, is in charge of BYU's running backs as the running back coach.
Outstanding. All right, let's keep this show rolling. High energy to start. Arizona State head coach Kenny Dillingham makes his BYUSN debut and did so at Big 12 Media Days. You haven't seen that conversation yet, but we're about to show it to you. What does he think of transitioning from the Pac-12 to the Big 12 and being picked to finish last? You don't like the BYU's 13th? How does Arizona State feel about 16th? This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Station. We are live in Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jason Shepard. We recently had a chance to speak with every head coach in the Big 12, including Kenny Dillingham of Arizona State, whose team is picked to finish last. How does he approach that as he enters season number two in charge as he tries to resurrect a program there in Tempe? And what does he think of the opportunity to play BYU late in the season? That and more in our interview with Kenny Dillingham.
Coach, great to have you with us on BYU Sports Nation as you now enter into the Big 12. And I think what I want to know first and foremost is, what's the most challenging part of going from the Pac-12 and that style of play to now an expanded Big 12 and maybe some different nuances about the Big 12? So what differences are you anticipating as you move into a new conference?
Well, the Big 12 defensively is, there's not a scheme that's consistent. So in the Pac-12, everybody's four down. You have a few teams that'll hop into the odd front, like Cal and Oregon did, hop into the odd every once in a while, but it was just under, disguised as odd. Whereas the Big 12, you play four down, you play traditional odd, you play odd fives, you play four down, three high safety defense, you play three high safety defense. So the how you train and how you prepare to go versus that, you have to build that into your schedule in fall camp, because you can't just prepare your guys for a brand new scheme every single week that you've never prepared for. So how do you build that into practice time throughout fall camp? And I think that's the biggest challenge on that side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, you know, the last league we were just in was very quarterback driven, very open, very get the ball out, drop back passing game. And contrary to what people believe, this league now has went full circle and gone really back to 21 and 12 personnel, smash mouth football, old school football. And you've got to be able to put your face on people and stop the run. And that's where this league starts. So it's kind of drastically different leagues, and you have to practice for that. You can't just say, oh, we play this team this week. You have to have a plan to play that throughout the season.
Yeah, I mean, fall camp. One of the strongest conferences in terms of running back play, right? I mean, just super deep. We've gotten an opportunity to speak to some of them today. Off camera, you spoke a little bit about culture coming in, you know, year two. What are some of the things that you have done to implement that strong character within the locker room and throughout the entire football office?
Yeah, I think it all starts at the top, how you carry yourself. And I think from our coaching staff to everybody in the building, how you treat people. People are only going to be what they see, right?
Right.
So if our coaches aren't leaders, if our coaches aren't opening doors for people, if our coaches aren't showing up early, I think that's where it all starts. If our coaches aren't taking notes in meetings, if our coaches aren't pouring in and building relationships with players, then why should the players pour in and build relationships with each other? And one thing we do is we split up into 10 teams. We have 10 guys that are voted on our leadership council, split up into 10 teams, and they compete. It's posted on the boards. It's top lifts for the day. It is top speeds for the day, and they get points. If you show up late, you lose points for your team. If you miss an academic meeting, you lose points. If you pick up trash, somebody sees it, you gain points, and it gets posted. And it's just accountability for everything you do all day.
Yeah.
And I think people respond to that, in my opinion.
No question. I was a part of teams that a lot of the stuff we did off the field kind of bled into the environment or the culture, if you will, in the locker room and our on-the-field play. Being able to kind of have that synergy, you know, across the board, being able to have that camaraderie across the board definitely helps out, and you see the result on the field. You also see during those times, during those, you know, those competitions and games, you see kind of see who the leaders are and who are the guys that kind of stand out above the rest that are really going to take ownership of the team. You've added two quarterbacks through the transfer portal to your roster. Can you talk a little bit about Sam and Jeff and kind of what they brought to the team thus far?
Yeah, Sam, young guy, passionate man, loves it. And I think anytime you want to give somebody the reins to a program, you want to give it to somebody who cares like you care. You want to give it to somebody who breathes it and lives it and just embodies it. And I think that's what he does. And doesn't make the same mistake twice, can extend plays, can make every throw on the football field you would need to make, and he's smart. And he cares. And I think that combination, is there going to be growing pains with young guys? Oh, yeah, that's part of it. How do we protect them as a coach? And that's the challenge, is to protect them. And in terms of Jeff, Jeff is the exact opposite. Jeff is literally a guy who started for four different years straight in college football as an opening game starter. He was one of the top guys in the portal 18 months ago, had a bad stint in his last school, but that guy's still in there. It's now we have a more mature guy who started four teams or four seasons. People have deemed him as the best player at that position, and he's a vet, and he's super talented. So I think having both old and young and letting those guys battle and compete in a healthy competition is what football's about. That's what sport is about.
Absolutely.
Both Sam Levitt and Jeff Sims will put on quite a quarterback battle, I'm sure, when you get going. When does camp open up specifically for Arizona State?
The 31st.
Okay, so the 31st, it gets going. And I've talked to several head coaches, including Kalani Sitake, who said, until you're a head coach for the first time, you just don't really know. Like, you can't, like you think you're ready, and then you go through and you're like, whoa, there's a lot to be learned. So what was – like overwhelming that you learn in terms of lessons in the early part of being a head coach that's going to prepare you now for where you head into with Arizona State?
Yeah, how much football you can't do. I mean, I love football. I'm a high school coach. I coach youth ball. I got into this coaching freshman linebackers and coaching a 7th and 8th grade team. I had no connections to anybody in college athletics. I love coaching. And how much non-coaching you do is by far the – everybody warns you, everybody tells you, but how do you – you can't realize it until you're in it. And you're trying to create game plans, and you get pulled into 9 different meetings. You have to empower and trust people. Mm. And I think that is the hardest thing to do, in my opinion, that I have learned, is I'm not the smartest dude in the room, not the smartest coach. Schemes are great. Culture matters. How you play the game matters, not what's being called. The best teams in the country are going to call whatever they want to call on 3rd and 1 and convert. Whatever they want to call on 4th and 4 with the game on the line, everybody knows it. And the defense is going to play man coverage. Are they going to execute or are you going to execute? Everybody knows it is going to be a rub route versus man coverage. Who's more prepared to do it?
Yeah.
And who can do it better? And that's what I learned. Trust people, empower people.
Yeah, a lot of being a head coach, right, is culture setting and then who you bring on to the ship, right? Specifically with the players, though, Coach, what is there somebody in that locker room that we may not know about that we should know about or that is going to surprise us or somebody that you think is going to really leave their mark on the season this year?
Yeah, I think Jordan Tyson. I think somebody that, you know, didn't play last year. He was a freshman All-American Pac-12 player of the year, I believe, or something like that at Colorado. Transferred last year. We knew he wasn't going to play. Wide out for us. And he's had an unbelievable spring ball. He's dialed in. His brother just got drafted in basketball in the NBA draft. So he's really, really
good genetics.
Good genetics. He's got good genetics. And I'm super fired up for him.
Kenny Dillingham is with us on BYU Sports Nation, the head coach of Arizona State. So last year, Neil Brown was picked to finish last with West Virginia, and he was not happy about it. And then they went on the field and they said, we're a top 5 Big 12 team. What do you take from something like that when your own team is picked to finish last and the proverbial chip on the shoulder, and how do you use that, if at all, to motivate your players?
Well, you have to use it. I mean, everybody, in all the books, they tell you only internal motivation matters. That's a bunch of BS, right? Let's just be honest. Like, everybody gets motivated through external factors, and I think that's one of them. Is it a fair evaluation of the program over the last 3 years? Oh, yeah. And that's what I told the guys. This is perfectly fair. I support it. Prove them wrong.
Yeah. That fueled me when I was a player. When I saw things like that, especially, you know, with me personally not seeing my name on the you know, preseason All-American list or the pre-all-conference list, like that fueled my fire. That got me into the weight room, you know, an extra time that day for a two-a-day, or got me into the gym to, you know, catch balls or whatever, right? Like it'll light a fire.
100%.
So at this point, everyone wants to know what you feel most confident in. So if you're talking Arizona State fans or Big 12 football fans, like, what do you feel like you know about your team that you're most confident in going into the 2024 season?
That we're going to fight. That's it. I don't know about anything else, but our guys are going to fight every snap until the last whistle blows. We're going to fight and we're going to compete, because that's what the entire program is about. Everything we do is about fighting and competing.
Austin, are you motivated?
I'm motivated right now. And I love it. And that type of attitude, I'm telling you, as a player, when your head coach is bought in and your head coach is authentic about the fire that he exudes and the motivation behind it, man, it's hard not to go on the field and freaking fight your guts off for the guys. So I'm excited. Let's go suit up right now.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. With NIL, maybe we can bring you back.
You don't want this. This looks nasty under here. This is a bad situation.
Again, a guy who's caught passes from Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. Why not go catch a few passes from Jeff and Sam? Right?
I mean, let's go. And that Tempe heat, good lather.
Final question about BYU. You get the Cougars in Tempe on November 23rd. At this juncture, what do you know about Kalani Sitake and BYU?
Yeah, I mean, I've followed his career. We actually went versus him when I was at Arizona State last, before he became the head coach. One of the best defensive coordinators in college football. I mean, really, really, he changes. His scheme was so simple. I know they've made some adjustments over the last year, but it's still, his handprints are all over it. And his teams are tough. His teams are physical. They want to stop the run, and they want to do things differently. And I think that's one thing you always have to prepare for when you play him, is he wants to be different in a good way, a little bit different than everybody else you play. He wants that advantage on the defensive side of the ball. So it's a guy that you've really got to dive into when you prepare for, because you don't know the variety of schemes that he can bring from the same look. You got to really dive into what is that going to be this week, and you got to be ready to play four quarters of smash mouth football.
Coach, great to talk with you. We appreciate the time on BYU Sports Nation, and we're excited to see what Arizona State does. Take that fire and that accountability and go next level.
No question. Yeah,
I appreciate
talking with you, Coach.
Appreciate it. Appreciate y'all having me.
All right, if you missed any of our Big 12 Media Day interviews with players and coaches, you can always find them. They're all at BYU Sports Nation's YouTube page.
Up next, will there be more excitement surrounding the BYU-Utah football game in early November, or Kevin Young and BYU men's basketball season opener? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jason. Time now for our daily trivia question. Again, we're celebrating the 100th season of BYU football each day. A few nuances in every show that we do, and this is one of them. So, the random BYU football trivia question is provided by our fabulous Colton Potter today. Colton, what is the Brain Buster? I can't hear Colton.
So I can't.
I'm just going to read it.
Let's just read it off the screen.
The highest attended home game in BYU history had 66,247 fans in attendance. Who did BYU play in that game? Listen, I know that Utah's like four of the top 10,
yeah,
or some number like that. Miami had to be up there.
See, Miami is the one that came to mind first, but I don't know if it had that many seats back in the early 90s.
Did they count that specifically? Did it break 66,000 for the Miami game?
I'm gonna say Utah because of what you said. I don't know which Utah team, what year, but I'm gonna say Utah because I'm gonna go with the odds on this.
Okay.
So my answer is Utah.
That's a good safe bet. I'll throw in Miami just in case.
Okay. All right.
And the answer is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
1993, the bus, Jerome Bettis and company.
Honestly, we should have thought of that one. Of course. Fan bases in one stadium.
Holy cow.
So, yeah, we need to see the top 10. We need to see the top 10, right?
All right.
Like the top 10 most attended games. We'd figure out where Miami and where Utah is in that, but Notre Dame is the winner.
1993, it was a good year.
Okay, let's roll out the headlines today.
All right, as discussed in What's Trending, College Football Network released their 2024 Big 12 Strength of Schedule Rankings, and according to their ratings, BYU has the fifth toughest schedule in the Big 12 this season. Notably, BYU is one of just three teams to play all five teams who received first place votes in the preseason poll.
Congratulations to BYU baseball's Ben Hansen, who was drafted yesterday by the Boston Red Sox in the 20th round. The 6'6 right-handed pitcher led BYU in innings thrown and wins this past season. In his two seasons in Provo, Hansen recorded a 5-12 record with a 6.66 earned run average. This is the third year in a row BYU baseball has had at least one draft pick.
Former BYU linebacker Max Tooley reports to training camp today with the Houston Texans. Tooley went undrafted in this year's draft, but is looking to make the Texans roster.
Yesterday, USA Basketball posting a video of Jimmer Fredette in his Team USA jersey that he will wear in Paris. Jimmer repping the number 5. He and his 3x3 team travel to Paris later this week. Cannot wait to watch him compete.
Is that the most wholesome thing you've ever seen in your life? Jimmer in the USA.
Competing for gold?
Competing? Come on! That's my Olympian right there.
Jimmer Mania, worldwide, baby. Let's go. I believe the comment from his wife on the Instagram post was, he's absolutely perfect. Now that's true love, Whitney.
Yes.
Shout out to you. That's awesome. Those are today's headlines. Now some opinions in the whip.
All right, let's look ahead to the beginning of November. We've touched on this a little bit in the show. BYU football is set to play at Utah on November 9th. The exact same week is Kevin Young and BYU basketball's season opener.
Yeah.
Will there be more excitement for the rivalry game or for Kevin Young and BYU basketball making their debut?
The football game will be more discussed for sure because it's BYU-Utah in the same conference for the first time in how many years? 14, that they're playing a rivalry game in the same conference. So that will be more discussed. The excitement factor will depend on how well BYU has played up
100%.
To that juncture of the season.
Yes.
Utah, I anticipate, will probably be like a one-loss football team at that point. I think there will be they'll slip up somewhere along the way, but they'll be in the top 15 and trying to get into a college football playoff. But can BYU play well enough that it will garner the excitement that we hope this game carries into it? Kevin Young, BYU basketball, we know people are going to be juiced for that. So can BYU play well enough that there's enough excitement there?
Yeah, that is the unknown part of it. I actually think it's going to be the basketball because it's the unknown. Because there's been all of this buildup.
More excitement.
You're going to have already had, regardless of what the record is, you're going to have already had a couple months of football. And so that the newness of it has worn off.
Yes.
And I understand it's the rivalry, but with the basketball, you've had months and months and months to build this thing up, and it has gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. So I think the excitement will probably be for the basketball.
And we chose that word specifically. Not hype.
Yes.
Not most discussed.
Yes.
It's excitement.
So for me, I think it's the hoops.
Wow. All right. That's where we are with BYU basketball. Up next, UCF head coach Gus Malzahn joins us again at Big 12 Media Days as we introduce you to all of the head coaches before the 2024 season, what he expects from BYU and the Cougars visit Orlando this season, and why they think they might surprise some folks. This is BYUSA.
That just shows you the new age of college football. We're a young school, so we can adapt. Our goal every year is to be top 10 rushing. Up here, I think we got a chance to be top 10 again. We do have a roster that I feel really good about. We got to prove it on the field.
BYU Sports Nation rolls on from Studio B. He is Jason Shepherd. I am Spencer Linton. And now we turn our attention to another head coach, our second head coach interview of the show. It is Gus Malzahn of UCF. The Cougars visit South Florida in late October. Or I should say Central Florida, because, you know, Central Florida.
Because it's in the middle.
In late October, this could be one of the toughest game BYU plays all year. That and more. Gus Malzahn, 2-on-1 from Big 12 Media Days.
Coach, great to have you back with us on BYU Sports Nation. Big 12 Media Day, the second go-around for you, like it is for BYU, as still relatively new members of the conference.
Yeah.
But it's changed again, so I guess we could call the likes of UCF and BYU veterans at this point, can we not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, we're year two of the conference, and we only play two previous teams before, which I've never heard of.
So that is wild.
We got 10 new opponents, you know, but we're in the same conference. So that just shows you the new age of college football. I mean, you got to adapt and kind of move forward.
Every year it changes, right? We added Utah, added Arizona, a lot of West Coast teams being the furthest.
Yeah, we're the furthest.
East
we're
team
out there by
in
ourselves.
Big 12?
Yes. Yeah, West Virginia is a little bit above us, but I think they're a little closer.
Okay.
You know, west.
How does that play into the strategy of just, you know, planning for that in terms of, we talked to West Virginia coach a little bit just about, you know, sleep, scheduling that in, taking all that into an account for the preparation going into each game.
Yeah, there's a lot that goes with that. We went to Boise last year for second game of the year, and we actually had a night game, and we spent the night. All right, which was a little bit new, but it was great. I mean, we were able to be fresh on the plane. We were able to practice when we got off. And so all night games, if it's far away on the West Coast, you know, that'll be our plan.
We just learned something about you. You made the jump after 15 years as a head coach, the high level in Arkansas. Your first college job was the offensive coordinator job in Arkansas. I didn't realize it. That was an immediate jump up there.
Yeah.
And you have Felix Jones and Darren McFadden. And took Arkansas to an SEC championship game. So I bring this up because you've shown an ability to just adapt quickly in new positions, and you've done this your entire career. What's the key to being successful at that?
You know, I think being a high school coach, you've got to adjust every week or every year, and you got to adapt to the strength of your players, and so it looks a little different. You have the same philosophy, but you play to your strengths. That's given me an advantage now that I'm in college football. And, you know, it's just been a real dream come true blessing for me to be coaching college. I guess this is my 19th year. And like you said, I coached 15 years of high school football. So, you know, I feel real blessed.
Do you remember if there was one specific thing that kind of shocked you about getting to that level?
You know, everything happened so quick. I don't know if there was one thing. The recruiting aspect. The football, you get on the field, it doesn't matter if you're 17 years old in high school or 22 in college. It still feels exactly the same. Matter of fact, I think it's a little easier to call plays in college because you only have 20 hours a week to work. And, you know, they're really good coaches and they're going to be sound and they're only two or three things. You know, you coach high school and you're really good on offense. You're liable to see some junk defense that takes you a halftime to figure out what they're doing. So, you know, but I think more than anything, things just happen quick. The recruiting aspect is a completely different deal, you know, being a high school coach. And, you know, I just tried to be who I was and be honest and work with integrity. And that's kind of been my plan.
Let's stay on the recruiting front because that too feels like an evolving process.
Yeah.
Something that is changing literally by the day.
Yeah.
And now that money is just such a prominent part of it, and NIL and the transfer portal. So, how are you embracing this and adjusting at UCF to get better with this?
Well, we're a young school, so we can adapt, you know. But it's all about, you know, the NIL. I mean, that's really the main focus. We got to be competitive to have enough money for that. And so I've turned into more of a fundraiser than a coach, you know, as far as that goes. But we're in a great spot to recruit. We're right in the middle of the state of Florida. And, of course, you know, my previous job, you know, that was one of our key states, so a lot of ties. And so it's a great spot, but you got to keep up with NIL. But it's different. I mean, every year you got to adapt and things change.
So one of the biggest changes, I guess, to the UCF team this year is the addition of fellow Razorback KJ Jefferson.
Yeah.
Why was he a good fit for the offense?
Yeah, we've had great success in our offense when we've had, you know, a dual threat, bigger quarterbacks. Obviously, Cam Newton, you know, I'm not saying he's Cam Newton, but physically he's the closest
thing
to it.
When you were the OC at Auburn in 2010, right?
Yeah. We won a national championship. But, you know, KJ's a guy that I actually recruited out of high school. You know, we end up taking Bo Nix the same year, but we got the chance to know each other. And then, you know, when they were running the offense that really fit his style, he's one of the best offensive players in the SEC. You know, last year, that was like a different deal. They're running a different kind of offense. They lost some of their playmakers around him. But, you know, two out of the last 3 years, he's been one of the better offensive players in the SEC. So he's the perfect fit for us, and he's a veteran guy. He's played a lot of football. The moment's not going to be too big for him, and, you know, we like to run our quarterback from time to time, too.
Coach of the Year in the SEC, by the way, in 2013, AP National Coach of the Year, and Austin, he's ready to go to work at UCF once again.
I mean, the pedigree speaks for itself. I mean, the guy's a winner. The Big 12 is notoriously, especially right now, known for the running back rooms across the conference. Yeah. What people may not be too familiar with is the depth that you guys have in the running back room.
Yeah.
Someone might say the strongest running back room in the conference with R.J. Harvey, Toledo transfer Penny Boone, Miles Montgomery from Cincinnati, and then you just got done adding a four-star recruit in Frankie Arthur. How big of a part of the offense are they going to be this year?
Yeah, you know, we're a run play-action team. I mean, we're our goal every year is to be top 10 rushing. I think we were fourth last year. I think we got a chance to be top 10 again, and we throw it deep, you know, and play fast. And so it starts really for us at the quarterback position, the running back position, you know, R.J. Harvey and Penny Boone. He's a full-grown man. So we're glad to have those two, you know, really leading us in the backfield.
As far as expectations go, this is always a fickle conversation.
Yeah.
You're picked to finish eighth, but the conference is 16 teams.
Yeah.
So dead in the middle there, like, how do you take that nod?
Yeah, I think it's so hard to predict. I mean, you know, we got like almost 40 new players from last year. A lot of teams around in this conference feel, you know, the same type deal. But, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't get too wrapped up in preseason rankings and all that. We do have a roster that I feel really good about. I know we've got, you know, depth. We've got experience, like quality experience. I think that's really important, especially in this day and time. And so, but we got to prove it on the field. I mean, we came to this deal last year. We ran our mouth what we're going to do, all this, and we went 6-7. You know, that's unacceptable. I hadn't lost 7 games in my whole career, but it's kind of like, you know, refocus, addressed our needs at the end of the year and evaluated everything. And, you know, I feel good about our roster going in, but we got to earn it on the field.
We play BYU, or you play BYU in October. What are you looking forward to most about that game?
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of respect for BYU and Kalani. I mean, he's one of my favorite head coaches in the country, just the person he is. But, you know, you watch them on film, they're going to be physical, and they're going to play hard. You know, I think the last time I was a coordinator at Tulsa, maybe in 2007, we played BYU. It was a shootout.
Oh, man. Was it ever?
Big-time shootout. But, you know, it was a physical game. They had a lot of talent on the field, so – you know, looking forward to it. I think you'll enjoy the atmosphere. It's a different kind of atmosphere. Yeah. We're a young school. They're right on top of you. But I think your team will really, you know, enjoy coming.
Awesome.
In.
You played in that game. Did you not? You played in that game against Tulsa in 2007.
I did. My returning game was quite strong that game.
Yeah.
I think I had a touchdown or two. But, you know, that was like, I think one of my first, I think the second game back off my mission, still knocking the rust off after a 2-year stint in Argentina.
Y'all scored a lot of points now. It was, we had Charles Clay. I don't know if you remember him, but you know, no one knew really who he was until that game. But yeah, that was a shootout.
That was fun. Very fun.
Coach, if you had to pinpoint a statistic for your team that you're like, we absolutely have to be better here to not lose 7 games in the season.
Yeah. Stop the run. Yeah, I mean, we were embarrassing stopping the run, you know. And, you know, I've always kind of prided myself, we're going to run the football and stop the run and be tough. And we just didn't get it done. You know, so we made some changes staff-wise. We brought in some playmakers from, you know, some other successful programs. And so I really expect us to do better in that area.
Coach, can't wait for late October.
Yeah.
And we'll be in Orlando.
Sweating.
Yeah.
What?
You'll be sweating.
Yeah, that's it. What is the weather expected in late October in Orlando?
Oh, it'll be hot. Yeah, it'll be hot. You know, you get to January and February, I'll go to a restaurant and eat outside. So that should tell y'all you need to know about October.
Hot and wet.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Coach, appreciate the time. Best of luck
Thanks
to you.
Thanks for stopping by, Coach.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Gus Malzahn, UCF head coach. After the break, if you could make one change to BYU football's 2024 schedule, what would it be? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back with our question of the day. If you could make one change to BYU football's 2024 schedule, what would it be? Nathan Tolman, 22, on Instagram says, I wish BYU played Colorado. That would be such a cool experience. Yeah. Coach Prime. Our elite voice of the day, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated, from Andrew G. Garrett on X, who says, play SMU at home this year. Agrees with you, Jason.
That was mine.
With the road game at SMU in 2027, 7 home games needs to be the new normal.
Like that? That's a thing.
I don't have a problem with 7-0 games.
What I wanted.
Yes.
Today's Rise and Shout-Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
How about BYU starting pitcher Ben Hansen? 20th round of the Boston Red Sox yesterday. Congratulations. That's awesome.
That's very cool. Our thanks to today's guests, Kenny Dillingham, Arizona State's head coach, and Gus Malzahn, the head coach of UCF.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook.
For Jason, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Wally Joyner. We'll see you tomorrow for more BYU Sports Nation in Studio B. Go Cougs!